I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is it really gonna take to heal ourselves, our communities, and our planet? I'm Alicia Silverstone, and this is The Real Heal. Today, we're talking about what is possibly my greatest passion, what it means to heal whole communities through food. I recently got the chance to visit the world-famous Slutty Vegan while I was in Atlanta. You've probably heard about the lines down the block, but it's not just about the delicious burgers and fries. It's about the genius behind it. Pinky Cole is a restaurateur, philanthropist, author of Eat Plants, Bitch, and founder of the Pinky Cole Foundation. We talked about what it means to be the solution to the problems you see in your community. I'm so excited to share this conversation with Pinky Cole. Without further ado, let's get into the real heal. Hi, Pinky. I am so excited to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I feel so honored.
Well, I went into your restaurant when I was in Atlanta shooting recently. And the hype behind your restaurant before I got there was from every single person in Atlanta, by the way. So this is not like my vegan friends or anything. This was everybody told me, have you been to Slutty Vegan? Anyway, my son and I geared up and we decided we were going to brave it. And we did. But we got so lucky that day. It was really good. And the guy at the door was so cool. His vibe was amazing. And I asked him what we should get. He said, definitely get the one-night stand, which I'd also been told by my friend Priscilla. She had said, you have to get the one-night stand. And then right when you walk in, the energy of the place, I was dancing, I was singing, we were going off. And then every time somebody, there's moments where everybody starts sort of yelling and talking and singing in the place. It's just wild and fun. And it was such a good vibe. So well done. And then you get to the food and the food is delicious. So thank you.
No, thank you. It's so beautiful to hear people talking about the experience because my intention was met with the things that you say. Like, I want people to come for the experience and then they happen to leave with the food. So that makes me feel really good and warms my heart.
Yeah, and you did such a good job. I know that you feel like your employees are family because you feel it. There was just, everyone was committed and excited and happy to be there. No one was like, whoa, this is a job. And that's amazing.
Yes. And I try to make sure that it never feels like work and they love what they do. And I call them talent. They aren't employees. They are talent. And they get on stage when they come to Slutty Vegan. So they love it.
That's awesome. So you do have these lines around the door, right? I mean, at times I was lucky to avoid them, but there are 2-hour waits, 6-hour waits. It's out of control. And, you know, what do you think is making that happen? And I mean, everyone always says that vegan food isn't as yummy, but you're obviously proving them wrong. So why do you think that you're having lines around the door?
So there's a few things here, Alicia. The first thing is, people have fell in love with my story. So I had a restaurant before in Harlem, New York. It caught on fire. I had a grease fire, so I lost everything. So this is the story of a woman who grinded so hard, lost everything to a fire, car got repoed, lost my apartment, went flat broke, almost fell into a depression, but really rose above the circumstances. So people see me and they see hope. So they see somebody who really rose above every single obstacle and created something for all people in the name of food, and they wanted to be a part of that. So when you see an authentic story like that, people are like, I got to get with that. I want to support it. I want to be around it. I want to be a part of that experience. And that is the first piece of why people love Slutty Vegan. The second thing is, it's organic, like my personality. Like, just like you said, when you walk in a Slutty Vegan, it's going to be raw, real, authentic. We're going to give you a little bit of ratchet, but a lot of sophistication and a lot of professionalism with ultimate customer service, right? And we couple those things together and give you an ultimate experience that makes you feel like it's Hershey Park and Six Flags and Adventure World and all your favorite amusement parks because it's a memorable experience. And then the last piece, it's about community. So I'm really big on the community element of Slutty Vegan. And before I had this business, I've always fostered community values and making sure that I'm creating an ecosystem anywhere I go. So when I created Slutty Vegan, I decided to do a foundation where I'm helping to bridge the generational wealth gap and provide opportunities for people who need them, whether that's entrepreneurs, people who want to learn more about financial literacy, and giving people the resources and access to the tools that I have so that they could be better upstanding citizens in America. And you don't see all three of those pillars in a small business, right? You either going to get like one or the other. But I'm changing the dynamic and really disrupting the restaurant space beyond food. And people love it. And it makes them fall in love with Slutty Vegan every day.
So in that, the two things that popped out to me was fire and foundation. So I'm going to go fire first. I love that I had read or heard that you had said that this was actually, you know, while you obviously had to grieve the loss of this restaurant and it was could have been crushing, that actually it was a good thing that happened because, you know, before you were serving chicken at this restaurant, so that thing had to light on fire for you to align with yourself and do what you're so passionate about. And I think that's so beautiful, a purpose over profit. And if you can talk about that a little.
It's about alignment, right? And it took for me to go through those stages in my journey to really realize that, like, alignment is so real. Like, money means nothing if you're not in alignment, right? If you're not intentional about who you are, and what you're doing, who cares about the money, right? The money's going to come, but you're going to lose it. And I realized when I had my first restaurant, I was not in alignment with my purpose, right? I was doing it for money. I mean, obviously,
subconsciously, I didn't know that that was happening, but that's what I was doing, right? And I realized when you do things for money, they don't work. And I was vegan selling chicken. That should tell you already. So I'm telling people chicken tastes good, and I didn't even eat it. So I couldn't even identify with it. And I haven't eaten meat since 2007. So you can imagine, I'm literally telling people to do something that I don't even do. But now when I have Slutty Vegan, I realize I'm walking in my purpose. I'm getting people to eat a plant-based lifestyle and opening their consciousness to healthier options, even if it starts at vegan comfort food. And I'm walking in my truth. And because I get to walk in my truth, it feels good to me. It feels consciously correct. And I get to make money, which is like the third piece of all of this. And I get to help people along the way. And that part feels good. So for anybody that's listening to this, being in alignment in anything that you do is so absolutely necessary, because it really will shape the foundation of how you show up in the world.
Yeah. And the fact that you had the courage to stand in your purpose and your truth. A lot of people are afraid. They think, if I can't do it if I don't add this thing that everybody else, I think, wants. But look what you've done. So beautiful.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like $1 million.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who, well, tell me this. You kind of touched on it when you were talking about your foundation, but what is your dream? What is your mission? What is your biggest, deepest wish?
I want people to reimagine food in a way that they've never seen it before. And when I say that, I mean it in the most genuine way. When we talk about, especially in like urban inner city communities, right? I started Slutty Vegan in the heart of the South, where traditional soul food is at the forefront of family, right? So to be able to start a concept where veganism wasn't as popular as it is now, and doing something that the other big businesses weren't doing to educate people about this lifestyle, that was a big deal. Was it an easy feat? Absolutely not. But to be able to do that and get people who would normally never be interested in veganism or plant-based living to at least open up their eyes and say, you know what, I'm willing to try that. That is what fills me up every single day when the person comes to me and say, you know what, Pinky, I didn't even know fries were vegan. You know what, Pinky, I would have never tried vegan options if it weren't for you. So when I hear people say that to me, it tells me that I'm literally fulfilling my life's mission every single day. What I am doing is I'm encouraging people to just open up their mindsets to something new, right? Like, you don't have to eat dead animals breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? Eat some vegan options, whether processed or not, right? Start somewhere, and then you'll realize that this food tastes just as good, if not better, as the non-vegan options. And it allows me to walk in my purpose and in my truth. So when I'm long and gone, when Pinky is dead and gone and I have achieved my wildest dream, I want people to remember the idea that there was this young Black woman who helped people see it through in a way, in the world of veganism, in a way that they've never seen it before, but I made it cool. And in doing it in the coolest way, helping people to live a healthier lifestyle.
That's beautiful. The reason you want them to touch and taste this vegan food is what? Because you want them to be healthier?
So it's not even just about health, right? So like, whether you want to be healthier, whether you want to do it for the ecosystem, for the animals, whatever your reason is, has nothing to do with me, right? But speaking for myself, going vegan was the best decision that I've ever made in my life, right? It gave me a level of mental clarity that was unmatched. It allowed me to use and see with my third eye, right? And I live and breathe healthier. I'm conscious about the things that I consume. And if I can get more people to think that way, then I'm moving in the right direction. So I grew up as a vegetarian. I marinated in the womb of a vegetarian. My mother has only eaten fish my whole entire life, right? So in 2007, when I decided to ditch meat, it was really an easy transition because I grew up this way. My mother's a Rastafarian and I grew up eating Aito Jamaican food. So to be able to teach young people, especially with all the things that they're putting in the food right now, they're like, there's another way. If I can do that and do it in the way where I'm infusing it into pop culture, where I'm making it just as cool as Nike and Jordan and Air Force Ones and all of those things, if I can make it just as cool in the culture as everything else, then I know that we can start to change the conversation on how we see and consume food.
It's so beautiful. And I'm assuming your customers are not all vegan. In fact, maybe a huge percentage are not.
3% of my customers are vegan. And I like it that way.
Yes. You're not preaching to the cow.
Yeah. The vegans have already figured it out, right?
Yep.
I'm coming out with a cookbook. It's called Eat Plants, Bitch. And I'm directly...
I love that.
I'm directly talking to the meat eater. The vegan has already opened up their consciousness, right? Like, and you know, there's stages to veganism. Like some of us are vegans who love processed food. Some of us are alkaline vegans. Some of us are raw vegans. My ultimate goal is to be a raw vegan, right? But they've already entered into the wave of stages. I'm trying to get to the people that's eating pork, beef, rib tips, all of that stuff. Because if I can reach you, then I know that I can get the message across to you and the people that you love.
So, Pinky, what would you say is the biggest problem that your community faces? The people in your community, what are the biggest struggles?
Lack of access. Lack of access in the food space. When I think about especially how I open Slutty Vegans, I'm very mission specific. I go into food insecure areas. I go into vegan food insecure areas and areas that, you know, developers are not really interested in. So when I think about the problems, I think about how I could become the solution. So let's start with food, right? You go into an urban community and the food options are very slim, right? You'll see the same 3 fast casual restaurants, no vegan options in sight. So if people don't have the access to the resources, how can they consume them? So that's one problem. The solution here is to put Slutty Vegan in those desolate areas that will make people want to eat better food. The second piece here is the fact that there aren't any really decent restaurants in inner city communities. I'm going into the spaces that are right in the heart of gentrification or in communities that are suffering, and I'm reviving those communities. I'm helping to build up the community and helping business owners along the way also win, because if Slutty Vegan comes into town, then they can capitalize off of my audience as well. So I'm very solution driven when it comes to my business. So I identify those problems. And again, I obviously can't solve every single one of them. But if I can tackle 3 or 4 at a time, then I know that we can make small victory changes that will impact the bigger picture.
So for people who don't quite fully understand a food desert, can you talk about what that really means and what does it matter? Like what happens when there's not really good access to food or good food for people? What are the effects of that in your community?
So there's so many effects. You know, there's a saying that rings true that you are what you eat, right? You eat better, you think better, you live better. You eat bad, you think bad, you live bad. And it's just the truth. It sounds cliche, but it's so true. So when you go into inner city communities and there are food deserts and no access to healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables, what happens is that people begin to consume nothing but processed foods, right? And with all the GMOs and so many chemicals in the foods, it can affect children especially. And as they grow up, they have lack of access and lack of information to those foods because they never had them. And it can really provide chemical changes in your brain. And with those chemical changes, you show up in the world that way. And it's so necessary to make sure that people have access to fresh, healthy fruits and vegetables and plant-based options so that they can really be able to expand their mindset, expand their living and their healthiness and their consciousness. If you eat bad food all of your life, you are more privy to illnesses and diseases, especially if you are from a community that those diseases plague you. Right? It just happens that way. It's unfortunate, but it is the truth. So it's necessary for us to make sure that we can provide those options to inner city, low income communities so that they too can be able to have better options so that they can be healthier in the long run.
Yes. My goodness. Thank you. What about the fact that people always say being vegan is so expensive? I hear it all every day.
That is bullshit. Hopefully I can curse.
I know. It's such bullshit.
Let me tell you something. When I go to the grocery store, the first place I'm going is into the produce aisle, right? That's my favorite place in the grocery store. And when I tell you, if you are strategic, you can literally spend $20 and fill up, right? You can get your cabbage, you can get your greens, you can get your fruits, you can get your vegetables. It is not hard. I tell people this all the time. Being vegan and being plant-based is really about your mindset. Like, it starts here. Just like you wake up and brush your teeth, you wake up and make a conscious decision to eat vegan, right? And it doesn't have to cost money. Like, you can get creative. The most beautiful piece of, like, being a part of this lifestyle is that, like, I can go in a kitchen and make up something new, totally different every single day and, like, whip up something together and let my friends try it and they love it. Like, you don't have to limit yourself just because you put the word vegan in front of it. And I think sometimes people get so caught up in the word and the political correctness of it that it takes away from them really indulging in what the lifestyle really means and how they can really be impacted by it. But it's not expensive at all. I save a lot of money being vegan, actually. And because I like being alkaline vegan, right? I love kale. I love mushrooms. So those things are cheap. Like, you can make a mushroom meatloaf taste like a real meatloaf if you use the right flavors. And there's recipe books everywhere. And if you apply yourself, you can do it for a low cost.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so your foundation you mentioned earlier. What are you guys doing? You know, I've heard of some amazing things you're doing, but I want to hear from you. What are you doing?
So I'll tell you what we've done, and I'll tell you what we're about to do. So I started the foundation in 2019, and it was really a way to like stop spending so much money without putting it on paper, because I help a lot of people, because that's what I just love to do. So my finance guy was like, okay, we got to make this organization. So I did that. And since I had the foundation, I've done so much. I've partnered with Impossible Foods and Jermaine Dupri to get people excited about the past election. Rashard Brooks, who was murdered in the Wendy's parking lot, I partnered with another local organization to provide $600,000 worth of scholarships for the children, life insurance for the family, a brand new car for the family so that they didn't have to take public transportation anymore. I've also partnered with the Steve Harvey and Marjorie Foundation to provide hundreds of lights for families in Atlanta. I've paid the rents to local businesses in the area so that they didn't have to close due to the pandemic. I've given out thousands of pounds of fruits and vegetables in the communities in which I serve. So not only am I giving you burgers and fries, I'm also showing you that here are some alkaline options too, and these are yours to keep. Come get them. I've given away coats. I've paid the balances of 30 college students. At Clark Atlanta University so that they could walk across the stage. Just recently, I partnered with Derek Hayes. He's another local business owner to provide Black men with life insurance if they make $30,000 or less that they didn't have to pay for. They get to choose their policy and their beneficiary just so that, you know, more men, Black men especially, can get insured so that they can learn about mental health and financial literacy. But we've done so much. Scholarships, give backs, we've given cars, we've helped people get in school. And the reason why I do that is because I watched my mom do it, right? Growing up in a Jamaican household, my father served 22 years in prison. So I saw my mother serve as mommy and daddy and help everybody, right? And kept a smile on her face. And I absorbed who my mother was, and I became that woman who I am today. And it brings me joy when I can utilize my resources to help people and make people better. So I'm excited about what the foundation has done. And I'm even excited about what we're about to do, like, because this is bigger than just a 501c3. This is really a safe space for people to learn about financial literacy and business and entrepreneurship and building an ecosystem. I'll tell you a funny story. My first location, it's in a place called the West End in Atlanta. And once upon a time, I had sold, the line was like completely down the block around the corner every single day. And the neighborhood, they weren't too happy about it because they felt like I was causing some friction in the neighborhood. And Alicia, do you know what I did? I bought the local daycare and I'm turning it into a community center to show that I'm invested into this community and I'm doing it through my foundation. So that is just an example of the things that we do. And every single location that I open up, I make sure that I impound myself into the community through my foundation to offer opportunities, to offer resources, and to give back to the same space that's giving back to me. So I'm excited about everything that the foundation has done.
With the student college fees, I find that so amazing. How did that come to you? Like, how did you get connected and know that these kids needed help? And I'm sure it's never ending, right? Like, there, you did 30, but won't there be 30 more next year?
Yeah. So when I went to college, I paid for my student loans all by myself, me and my mom. I actually just paid my student loans off like 3 years ago. And I can remember calling Sally Mae and just paying it off in full. And like, that was the most special moment in my life. But I know that everybody doesn't have the ability to do that. So when I realized there were some students who couldn't graduate because they didn't have the credentials to graduate because they didn't pay, myself and one of my colleagues, we came together and reached out to the school and said we wanted to help. We also know that this is a disparity, especially at historically Black colleges and universities. It's really tough to get money. I've been there. I know how it is. But they were so excited. They had no idea. It felt so good. Brought tears to my eyes to know that, like, again, utilizing my platform and my resources to give back to an institution that has done so much to me, I do it over again and again and again. And although it was 30, and I'm sure that there's 30,000 more, my mission is to one day be able to create a program where seniors and people in college, if they need financial resources, they can come to me to get those resources. And I'm going to make that happen.
Well, I'm sure that if they found you this time, they're going to find you again. Right? Which is wonderful. I read that you were helping juveniles who had been, you know, put in juvie get jobs at your place. And I thought that was so amazing because most people are not open to people coming. I mean, there are people who are open to that, but it's not often. So it's really beautiful that you're doing that.
I want to tell you a story about that. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, and I partner with the Department of Juvenile Justice to offer 30 ex-juvenile offenders an opportunity to come and work. One, because my father, he's my whole entire life, he was in prison. So I know what it feels like to be on the other side of the system, right? So I could only imagine what it feels like to be in the system. I've never been in it, but, you know, I know what it feels like because my father was there. So I partnered with Department of Juvenile Justice, great program. Had several guys come in and work at Slutty Vegan, even got promoted. One of the young men, his name was Christian White, and he was working for me for about 6 months. He got promoted. He was doing an amazing job. And then unfortunately, earlier this year, he was murdered on Mother's Day. And the reason why I'm telling you that story is because it was just another constant reminder that the work is never done, right? Like, this is not for accolades. For me, it's really to be able to encourage and empower young people, especially who need a second chance, to show them that you can do it no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what people told you that you couldn't do. You got somebody named Pinky Cole that's willing to help you get to the next level. And I'm happy about that. And, you know, rest in peace to Christian, but he really is a motivating driver for me to keep going through my foundation and doing all the work that I'm doing.
My goodness. So you mentioned your dad being in prison, which I imagine would be a very heartbreaking experience. But you were a baby, right? It was the day you were born. So you probably didn't know any different. But I also read that he was the one who gave you some incredible advice that led you to be where you are today. So this inspires me so much because I don't think people value the lives of people who are in prison. And this is such a great example. So you tell us, what did he teach you and how? Did you see him weekly? Did your mom bring you to him? Like, what was your relationship with your daddy who was in prison?
So I had a great relationship with my father. Contrary to popular belief, although he was gone, he was in federal prison. Every single holiday, that's why I respect my mom so much. She made sure that every single holiday I saw my dad. I laugh and I tell people, like, I grew up in prison because I did. Like, I can remember getting wanded, sitting at a table for 2 hours, the buzzer going off, okay, you got to go, driving to Hagerstown. Like, I did the rigmarole when you talk about federal prison. But one thing that my father did is he made sure that although he wasn't physically there, he was always mentally present. So he would instill in me everything entrepreneurship. Right. I was 14 having parties, making $4,000 a day and selling candy and selling McChickens. But I got that from my dad. He was a hustler. And although he didn't make the most legal decisions, he made the decisions that was best for him at the time. But he knew that, OK, I'm in prison for a long time. I'm going to make sure that my offspring get the nuggets that I had. Listen, my father is probably the smartest man that I've ever met in my life. I think he's read every single book in America, right? He's one of those. And he's a vault. I can call him and ask him anything. My father taught me about the stock market in prison. He taught me how to read business books and the right business books to read. He helped me with a plan of what I wanted to do with my life. And more importantly, he made me want to not be mediocre, right? Like, mediocrity don't even exist in my vocabulary because of my dad. And although he couldn't physically be there, he instilled so much in me. Right now, he's in Jamaica. He got deported and he's in Jamaica. And he is a part of my big reason and my big why. And I keep going because of him and my mother, because I see them and it warms my heart to know that they still have life and breath to see the success I've made this far. And a lot of people can't say that they have parents still alive to see them make it to a certain level and to be able to do what I do and my parents are alive to see it, that is a motivating factor for me.
There was a quote, somebody said, if you think the phenomenon is only about food, you're greatly mistaken. Cole has hit the trifecta of community, commerce, and compassion. So I think we've talked about this, but how did you get to a place where you knew that these three things had to come together?
So I am a foodie, a big foodie. And what I noticed throughout the years is when I go to restaurants, I one, eat with my eyes and I move with my heart. And I realized there weren't many restaurants that really speak to all three of those things. One in particular that I can say that does it a little bit, but they're not a vegan restaurant, is Shake Shack. But I wanted to do that on the vegan side. So when I created Slutty Vegan, it was really a way to be able to fill up all three of those pillars because I wanted to exist in a space where people see a great organization that is intentional, mission-driven, has a great experience, has great food, and gives back to the community. When you have all of those things, it is a recipe for success, no matter how you put it. And this part doesn't have anything to do with money. Right? It has everything to do with longevity, impact, how you are pronounced in the city. Just like you said, when you came to Atlanta, everybody told you to come to Slutty Vegan. And they might have told you to come to try the food, but it's not just about the food. It's about how we resonated in the city and how we've become a staple in the community that when you come from another city, country, town, state, this is one of those places that you have to come before you leave because of what we stand for.
That's amazing. Everything you're doing is amazing. And I just want to say thank you for taking time out of your incredibly busy day to talk with me.
Thank you so much.
To dig deeper into this episode's topic and resources, visit thekindlife.com. The Real Heal is an iHeartRadio production made in partnership with Frequency Media. I'm your host, Alicia Silverstone. From iHeartRadio, our managing producer is Lindsay Hoffman. From Frequency Media, Michelle Corey is our executive producer. Jordan Rizzieri is our producer. And Imani Leonard and Laura Boyman are our associate producers. Sydney Evans is our dialogue editor. And Claire Bidigary Curtis is our mixer and sound designer. This podcast is available on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are found.
I used to have so many men.
how this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.